Praise the name of Jesus. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Praise God. Well, this is the time to a year, the time of the year that we celebrate that Jesus was born in the earth. And we just thank God for the gift that was given. Amen. We come every Sunday thinking about Jesus. We come worshiping Jesus. We celebrate his birth every year. But, you know, Jesus is God in the flesh that came down to die for you because he loves you. What manner of love, hallelujah, he has towards you. Praise God. We're going to be talking about God's love this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can look at 1 John 3:16. You know, I'm sure we're all familiar with John 3:16, but are you familiar with 1 John 3:16? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. But then we're going to be looking at 1 John 3:16 in just a minute. You know, our God loves us so much, and we understand that God's love is not the love of this world. The love of this world is a lot of times what they call an emotion. The Bible love is not an emotion. It can involve your emotions. It can touch your emotions, but God's love is a choice. It's a choice to be selfless, to lay down your life for someone else. He's called each of us to love one another. He's called all of us to be selfless, to lay down our life for one another. And of course, he did so for us, and he even taught us to love. He taught us and demonstrated the love of God. Amen? God loves us so dearly, even while we were yet in our sins. So I ask you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. Let's come to the Father in prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you so much for your love for us through Jesus Christ. God, I pray you help us have understanding and revelation about that love. Father, speak through me. I yield myself to you. Spirit, soul, and body, God, have your way and speak to us. Teach us about your great love for us through Christ Jesus. I ask you in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So we understand that God's love towards us is unconditional. That means it doesn't matter what you've done. He still loves you. You could consider it the worst thing you've ever done. He saw it. He knew about it. He knew it was going to happen, and he still loved you. Or the greatest thing you've ever done. It doesn't matter what you've done. His love is unwavering. It is a constant. It never changes based on what you do or what you fail to do. It is unconditional. It is gracious. Our God is love. Love is who our God is. It's not an emotion. Okay? The world would talk about, oh, I'm feeling love. I've fallen in love, like it's an emotion. Or a lot of times it's lust in the world's view. We need to change our definition. When we read the Bible, we need to be walking in the God kind of love. Hallelujah. That's unconditional. That is the opposite of the sin nature. The sin nature is focused on self. I live my life for myself. I want to gratify myself and please myself. That is the nature of flesh. That's the nature of pride. That's the nature of fear. Everything that is the opposite of love. We know, of course, Jesus was tortured. He was beaten. You know, the Roman soldiers, they put a crown of thorns on his head. They plucked the beard from his face. They tortured him. They beat him. And I want you to pay attention as we go through the scriptures this morning how Jesus responded. He didn't retaliate. He didn't fight back. And he had every right to, because of course he was innocent. And he had for sure the ability to, because he was God. He could have called legions of angels to wipe out the entire human race in just a moment of time. Hallelujah. But he was loving, gracious, kind, and merciful to the human race. Thank God for his mercy, or we'd all be consumed. Praise God. And so I want you to notice and pay attention to the nature of love. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We can perceive this love, but we can also live it. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This morning, I want you to understand that if you've been born again, the love of God has been put into your heart. It says in Romans 5:5, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. God's love has changed you. You are now a child of God. Hallelujah. With the power, the ability to love, to do as this verse says, to lay down your life for other people, to put other people's needs before your own. You know, we all have that part of us, that nature that wants to be selfish. And that's the nature of all sin, is selfishness. It always comes back to me, myself, and I. What can I get for myself? I want this, I want that. Hallelujah. But we can walk a life in the Spirit. What is life in the Spirit? Life in the Spirit is a life of love. Life in the Spirit is not, you know, floating on some cloud, seeing visions and dreaming dreams and all kinds of mystical, weird things like that. Life in the Spirit is just being kind to people around you. That's the life of love. That's what pleases God. You know, sometimes we think people are super spiritual if they have a vision or a dream, or someone stands on a stage and preaches to thousands and thousands, and we think, oh, that's a spiritual person. That's a spiritual giant. But they may be infants in the things of God if they don't walk in love, if they can't go home and treat their spouse the right way, if they can't go home and love their spouse and love their children, if they can't be nice to people and be kind to people. They are spiritual babes. This is the measurement by your spiritual growth. What is your love walk like? This is what determines whether you're really spiritually mature. What is your love life like? How do you treat other people? Don't think that it's all this external stuff and feelings and goosebumps. No, life in the Spirit is a life of love. It's a life of serving and helping people, loving people, forgiving those that have harmed us. Consider what Jesus did. He was dying for the very people that were killing him. He loved the very people that were torturing him and crucifying him. He was thinking of them on that cross, dying for them. When someone hurts you, do you have to retaliate? Do you have to fight back? When he stood before Pilate, he didn't even try to defend himself. He could have eloquently defended himself and just probably freed himself because of the eloquence and mastery of the words that could have, got him out of his situation. But of course, he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb to the slaughter, he laid down his life. When someone tries to destroy you, when someone tries to destroy your reputation, can you close your mouth and not defend yourself? That's a life of love right there. That is a challenge. Amen. He tells us in another place, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, and I'll just read it real quick. You don't have to turn there. Matthew 5:38. You heard it's been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Hallelujah. That love is not an emotion, because an emotion can't do this. And it sure isn't lust, because lust can't do this. Love is a supernatural power. It would take a supernatural power to do something like this. Pride rises up in the flesh and has to defend itself. Pride wants to fight. Pride wants to say, I'm bigger. I don't have to put up with this. You can't do this to me. Right? That's the nature of sin. That's the nature of flesh. That's the nature of pride that wants to defend itself. Jesus had every right and every ability to do so, but he laid down his life and loved those who were torturing him. Do you love that person that's going around and speaking about you, trying to ruin your reputation, trying to make you look bad? Do you love that person? Do you love that person that hurt you? That's a measure of your spirituality. Can you love that person? Can you forgive? Can you turn the other cheek? Praise God. That's a supernatural love. And I'm here to tell you, we can do it. We just read, you ought to lay down your life. I told you in Romans 5:5, you've been given the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. You have a nature now that wants to walk in love, while at the same time, you can yield to that other nature that wants to raise up your fist and say, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to retaliate, tick for tat, right? That is so contrary to the nature of God. I want you to look at me with look with me at Isaiah 50. This is an awesome. This is really. It was a prophecy about Jesus. Isaiah 50. And we're going to start reading at verse 6. It was a prophecy about Jesus, but we can also see it's very, very clearly what was going on in the heart and mind of Jesus as we read this. He says here in Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. What a powerful thing. Can you do that? When someone's trying to hurt you, trying to destroy your reputation, trying to make you look bad, trying to push you down, hallelujah, can you turn your back and just let them do that? This is a supernatural type of love. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. It's going to take the power of God to do something like that, but you can do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You have the Holy Spirit of God. We learned in that series that we just talked about that we have a supernatural power. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Remember what you don't know about God's plan of salvation. Now we've been given the Spirit of God, the same Spirit Christ has, we have. The same Spirit, you know, of course, Jesus never sinned. So that same Spirit that empowered Christ now resides in us. Now we can live a life of holiness. We can live a life of love, of true spiritual worship to God. You know, a worship is not a slow song on a Sunday morning. Worship is a life of obedience. Worship is a life of love. How you treat your brother and sister. We know the great commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That means I'm not going to hurt you. The great golden rule, as we say, is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, you know, they hurt me, so it's unfair that, you know, they get to walk away scot-free. I've got to get them back. No, you still treat that person that has harmed you and do unto them as you would have them do unto you. You wouldn't want them to get you back. Maybe they harmed you and they didn't even know it. It was an accident. This is what Jesus did. He gave himself to the smiters. I want you to consider that there's two parties here. There's the person that was striking Jesus, and then there, of course, is Jesus. Jesus is love. Jesus represents love. So the other side would represent that nature in us, that nature of pride, that nature of fear, that nature of sin, that flesh nature that strikes at its enemies. We are not called to strike back at our enemies. What do we do? Well, someone's harmed you. What do we do? Well, let's read the next verse. This is what the Word of God says. Verse 7, this is what Jesus did. He's been stricken. He's been struck. This is what he said. For the Lord God will help me. He didn't retaliate himself. He left it in the hands of God. This is what he says. The Lord God will help me. Shall I not be confounded? or disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifies me. Who will condemn me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. What did he do? He put his faith in God, that God would take care of his enemies. Now, we don't want to see our enemies fall. We never are to rejoice when our enemies fall. But here's the point. Our goal in walking in love is to leave it up to God, to release it, to say, God, I put this in your hands. This person's trying to destroy me, trying to hurt me. I trust you. And God, when you do that, because if you don't, you're keeping it in your hands. And you say, I'm going to get them back. Say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They're not even going to know I was coming. They're not going to know it was me. You know, we can start conniving and being cunning. That's not the nature of God. That's not the nature of love. That's the nature of our enemy, right? But this is real faith, is saying, God, you saw what happened. I'm going to put my faith in you. You're going to take care of this. And then to sit back and really do nothing but love that person, pray for that person, bless that person that harmed you, the Bible says. Because we don't want to see them destroyed, right? I know there's a part of the flesh that would want to see them destroyed, but God doesn't rejoice at the destruction of his enemies, nor should we when they go down. But my point is, again, that we put our faith in God and leave the vengeance up to God, right? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't retaliate. Don't take it into your own hands, because when you take it into your own hands, you're taking it out of God's hands. And you don't actually know what's going on. You only saw a small sliver of what was actually happening. You don't know what was going on in that person's heart, their intentions, their motive, their will. You don't know what problems they might have been going through. They might have done something thinking it was someone else, and you got hit with it, you know, something like that. We need to be very careful. When someone hurts you, it's time to slow down, back away, and say, God, I need some help right now. I need some help. I don't want to react in the flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit and do what is right here. Hallelujah. And leave vengeance up to God. Pray for that person. Love that person by praying for them. You know, Jesus talked about, you know, you try to, don't judge your brother, you know. You've got this big plank in your own eye, and you're trying to pluck the sliver out of someone else's eye, that little speck that you see in someone else's eye. You can't see. My point is, we can't even see the problems in our own heart, in our own life, the sin. There's all kinds of stuff that we can't see ourselves, unconscious things going on in our own life. And we're sitting here trying to judge someone else. You know, an illustration I heard that I just love. If you think of a glass of orange juice, and you throw some ice cubes in the orange juice. So you can look down on the top of the glass, and you can see that those ice cubes represent the visible sin in our life. And then, because it's in the orange juice, you can't see the rest that's under the surface. All you can do is just see a small sliver of it, just like maybe 10%. And I'm talking about in our own life. There's all kinds of things that we don't see, but as we grow in the Lord, we start to see and say, oh, Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me for that attitude I had all those years ago. As we grow in the Lord, we start looking back and saying, man, what was I doing? What was I thinking? Because we grew in the Lord, we understand. So, you know, we can shave that top 10%, and what happens? More bobs up to the top, and we shave that off. And more bobs up, and you just keep doing that for the rest of our progressive walk in the Lord. Then there's more under the surface. So we can sit here and judge someone else, but we don't see it all. So it would be foolish to judge someone else, right? We don't understand all that's going on. That's why we want to put it in God's hands. He sees it all. He knows how to fix that person. We want to bless that person, get that person right with God, help that person draw closer to the Lord, fix that person. That's our goal, is to love. Lay down our life for other people. This is a spiritual life. You know, there's the world is even recognized. There's basically two reactions. When someone hurts you, there's basically two reactions that people do. It's called flight or fight, right? Fight is when pride rises up. I'm going to fight. I'm going to defend myself. They can't do that to me. And then there's flight, which is just as bad, is to run away. That's fear, right? These are both the opposite of spiritual walking in the Lord, okay? Fear or flight or fight are not of God. What did Jesus do? Did he fight? No. Did he flight? No, he did neither. He stood right there, faced his tormentors face to face, and just kept going. He put his faith in God. Same with Paul. He was being tortured. He was being beaten. He just kept right on going, putting his trust that God is going to take care of this. He didn't go back to those cities that beat him and tortured him and started talking about, oh, look, those evil Sadducees and rulers that have tortured me, and started, you know, undermining them, trying to get back at them. No, he just kept preaching the gospel. You know, we define heroes a lot of times as someone that lays down their life. You know, you hear of stories of these guys that go to Afghanistan, the military, our military, and one guy, you know, pushes another guy out of the way and jumps on the live grenade and dies. And sometimes they even live. And you ask them, they're asked, you know, why would you do that? You're putting your life in danger. And he goes, well, you know, I didn't think about myself. Right? That's what Jesus did. That's what we're to do. Self, is your focus on yourself? We start thinking about ourselves. Oh, this could happen, that could happen. We're getting out of love. We're getting out of what God has called us to do. That is the true definition of a hero. Jesus is the ultimate example, of course, of love, of a hero. He pushed us out of the way and took the full brunt of the wrath of God against sin for us. Hallelujah. And that's why we worship him. He's so good. But he's called us all to do the same thing. Hallelujah. Flight or fight. We can't let these reactions be a part of our lifestyle anymore. I don't know if you've ever noticed, I just started realizing, you know, that's the nature of the animal kingdom as well. A beast, you know, they have pride. Even animals have this pride where they have to dominate one another. You know, the gorilla pounds his chest to show how big and bad he is, right? Or the wolf has to bite and snap and snarl at the other wolves to be the alpha male, to dominate the pack. Or the lion has to roar and bite and even if necessary kill other lions just so he could be the top lion of the pride, which is ironic. That's what I'm talking about, pride. Even animals have pride. That's the fight instinct of animals. Or the other side is fear. Of course, all the animals have some measure of fear, even the biggest and baddest of animals. But, you know, you think of the rabbit that runs from the fox in fear, or the gazelle from the cheetah, or the seal from the great white shark. There is an instinct in these animals to fight or to flight, to fight to defend yourself or to run. You know, that's another reaction that we can't allow in our life. When someone hurts us, someone offends us, a lot of people react by just running. They become quiet, they run away, and what happens is they start building up bitterness in their heart. They start getting bitter and conniving, wanting to destroy that other person, but they don't say anything. Maybe they come back later and do something. They run in fear, or someone hurt me at this church, I'm going to go to another church. So they can go get hurt again over there. You're going to get hurt. I mean, people are people. It's going to happen by accident. You're still going to get hurt. Sometimes on purpose, you're still going to get hurt. We're all going to get hurt. How do we react? In fear? Running away? Getting offended? Getting bitter? You know, even Christians. I had a church I went to, and the brother used to get up, and he'd get up pretty regularly and you know, take up an offering, and he'd say, "All right, let's all stand, and we're going to pray for our unsaved loved ones." Well, one morning he got up and got his words mixed up and said, "Let's all stand and we're going to pray for our unloved saved ones." Sometimes we don't, it's not easy to love those that call themselves Christians. Right? But we're still to love them, to lay down our life for them. We can't see it all. It's under the surface. We don't know what's going on in that person's heart. We need to pray for those that hurt us and persecute us. Hallelujah. And so it happens in churches. It happens on the job site, you know. Well, this person hurt me. I'm going to quit, or I'm going to move to another department. Running away is never the answer. Praying and loving that person. Standing up and defending yourself. Fighting, well, I've got to defend myself. It's not what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Well, he gave his back to the smiters, and he trusted God to defend himself. We are not beasts. We are not animals. We don't respond in fight or flight, in pride or fear. We respond in love. We are sons of God, made in the image of God. God is love. We are the sons of love. What manner of love God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? What does that mean? Does that mean, you know, we should glory in all the inheritance that we have and the power and the authority? No, the distinction of God, the most distinct thing about God is his love. That's what makes him so holy and distinct and separate from all the other creation. And so we are to be like love. We are to be like him. Hallelujah. That's what should distinguish the Christian more than anything else, is that is such a loving person. People should like being around you. Kind, loving, forgiving. We must forgive. Amen. The Bible says if you don't, you won't be forgiven. We must forgive those, because unforgiveness doesn't help anybody. It only harms you. It destroys your heart. It destroys your walk with God. I am convinced that there are people that were formerly Christians that are no longer because they refused to forgive somebody. Forgiveness. Judge not that you be not judged. Hallelujah. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be, is to be like sons of God who love other people even though they harm us. And you say, well, they still deserve, you know. Understand that God will mete out the justice. He is better at it than you. If they don't repent, they will absolutely get what's coming to them. But don't concern yourself with that. Concern yourself with praying for that person, loving that person, forgiving that person, thinking the best of that person. Try your best to think, well, maybe they didn't mean it. Maybe I heard it wrong. Maybe, you know, I misunderstood. Maybe they were going through a problem, and if I knew what they were going through, I might have done the same thing. If I was going through what they were going through, I could have done the same thing or worse. Sometimes we get so focused on ourselves. Animals are in that mode of self-preservation all the time because they have to be. We're not animals. We're children of God. Hallelujah. We don't have to defend ourselves. God will defend us. That's what we read here in Isaiah. I look to God. Jesus looked to God to justify him, to defend him when he went through what he went through. And of course, God did what was right. He did what was just. Amen? Praise God. I hope you got something out of that. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back. Hallelujah. Give God glory. Our love walk is so vitally important, because if you don't do it, it is also a counter to our witness for the kingdom, right? Oh, they call themselves a Christian, and and someone saw when you retaliated. And that person could have been a baby Christian or a non-Christian. Say, oh, that's how Christians act. It's a witness for the kingdom. Of course, we don't want to do that. We want to have a good witness. Show people, show our children, show those that watch us. This is how you do it. You pray for them. You love them. You forgive them. You think the best. And if they don't repent, leave it up to God. Hallelujah. God will mete out proper justice in the right time. Hallelujah. That's a walk of faith too, because that's hard. But God's given us the Holy Ghost. We can. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You can do it. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? We'll close in prayer. Praise God. Hope you got something out of that. Father, we thank you so much that you have called us to all be sons of God. Help us to walk in that love. Help us to let our lives be distinct lives of love, walking in love, so people would see our kindness and our goodness, that we would not retaliate and act in pride or run away in fear and bitterness and offense. But God, we would look to you. We would bless those that harm us. We would pray for them. We would not judge them, but we would lift them up to you. Say, God, help them. God, help them in their situation. Hallelujah. We forgive. We release those people that have harmed us. I encourage you right now in your own heart, if you can think of someone that has offended you, that has harmed you, now is the time. Ask release them, forgive them. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.